Well, glory to God. We're going to be this morning back into our teaching. I started a series and we're looking at Jesus Christ, the healer. We're going to touch into the thing because, you know, there's things that if we want to move of God, which we do, and to cooperate, doesn't matter how much God wants to move, we have to be able to cooperate with it. Whatever God does, it's like with salvation. No matter how much man wants salvation, God has a plan of salvation and you have to cooperate with that plan. And people, there's a preparation. You know, somebody just don't get saved because he wants to get saved. You know, the word's got to be preached. A person has to come to faith. There's things that you have to do. Naturally, we do that all the time. You know, I've had on a number of occasions where, like I worked on my car or something. I had Michael Lozer helped me out a few times, and he probably forgot more than I know about cars. You know, but, you know, there's one thing you find out. You go to do a job. There's things you have to prepare to do that job. You just don't start doing things. You got to gather the stuff you need together to do the job and things like the church is really become very unstructured. And Christians, there's one thing as I learned when I came into the kingdom, when I got born again, there was really a structure to things. There's things that you did to end up at a place. Today, everything's just, well, just pray, just do this, just, and it's all a bunch of bunk and junk and it doesn't produce. And we've left all that. We've left that discipline. We're in this society. Somebody else is going to do it for you. You know, our social structure today, if your life's messed up, somebody else is supposed to fix it for you. You know, somebody else is supposed to do it. Somebody is supposed to take care of you. If you don't work now and have nothing to eat, you're supposed to be able to go and somebody gives you something to eat. This is the way that things run. And, you know, the whole thing of it is I can see the church operates like that. Christians don't plan on doing a thing. They run right up to the time that they need help and they have done nothing in planning and life and setting in motion. They have done nothing to do that. Uh-huh. One of the things I found out is how God worked through me. It's one of the things back in 2014, the Lord spoke to me about the areas of finances. And he you know, commended me and said with Wanda and I because of our, in the areas of our giving. He said about, he commended me on concerning how we give. And then he told me about receiving. He said, you've learned how to receive. He said, when you need something, you know how to bring it in. You know how to do that financially. You know what to do. But he said, that's not my best. Well, I want to know what his best is. He said, my best is, he said, I want you to start to operate like this. I want you to start calling money in before you'll ever need it. You said, we think, now see, today most people wouldn't do that because they think, well, that's sort of, what are you doing calling, just calling money in? What are you just going to be some rich guy? Well, no, God wants you ready in advance. He said, I want you to start to do, and he told me and set a plan for me to do something to start to call money in. He told me what to do and how he wanted me to do it. And we started doing it. It worked. We went from a short period of time, Wanda and I went, we were doing all right to really doing all right. So, by calling things in, because looking out in advance, having things ready when you get there. So you're not trying to bring it in. You already set things in motion. Like Mike's talking about tithing. Tithing is one of those things that sets things into motion ahead if you learn how to do it by faith. Because that's one thing. You're giving even when you don't. You know, lots of people, they want to give when they need something. And we want to start getting into this thing. Well, that ain't the way it works. No, this is a thing you do. When everything's working fine, you're still tithing. You're still doing your have giving and that stuff. And, there's one of the things that I'm just going to tell you. If you want to go to higher levels in receiving, you're going to have to go to higher levels in giving.
Amen.
If you don't, it don't. That's the way it is. Anything is that you have to go to a higher levels. We do that naturally in life. You want to, you know, you want to step up in a grade in something, you have to learn maybe more things and do something. You always have to step up higher, which actually costs you something. We have this free Christianity, the biggest lie in the world. You know, it don't cost you to be saved from a standpoint. It don't cost you. You know, we say, well, salvation's free. Yes, it's given by God, but you have to do something to get it.
Amen.
It don't fall on you. So we sort of have people today believe in stuff that isn't really accurate. You know, we take a little phrase from the Bible and we throw it out there and we make things. It's just like we're going to talk about today. People throw these phrases out there and they say prayer changes things. Well, I'll tell you, most people's prayers don't. People praying all over this world today ain't changing a thing. It ain't getting better at all for them.
Amen. Preach.
But we throw this, you know, you've heard me say this over the years. Christianity today is a cliche. It has all these sayings that don't amount to a hill of beans. Don't amount to nothing. You know, People don't get healed by prayer. Prayer don't heal people. Faith does. Prayer does not heal. Jesus Christ, faith in Jesus Christ heals.
Hallelujah.
We need to get all these people. You know the first thing people ask for? Yeah, pray for me. And you know what? Nobody stops and says, well, what do you believe? Nobody does it. You can't even get preachers to do it. I'll just tell you a little story about John Alexander Dowie. Now, I don't know much of you are familiar with him. He had a powerful, powerful healing ministry. And he was from Australia, came to the United States. And when he came to the United States, that time he came on a ship. He left Australia and came, and he landed in San Francisco. And somehow people found out that he was coming. I mean, he didn't announce his way. He had a very big healing ministry in Australia and stuff, but he came and somehow they knew he was coming. So when he got to San Francisco, he had arrangements to stay at a hotel there. And when he got there, hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of people are waiting in lines outside this hotel. Sick people, they want to get healed. You know, men, over 1,000 people waiting for him to get there. So Dowie comes, he goes to the hotel manager, he gets to his room and stuff. The hotel manager goes, you know, what do you want us to do with all these people out here? These people, what do you want to do? So Dowie did this. Dowie said, well, I'll tell you what. He said, you can send one at a time up to my room and I want to talk to them. Dowie went through 250 people and never prayed for one of them and told them why. And this is what he said. Ain't none of them were in a position to receive healing. Would preachers do that today? Never. They just, you just be wonderful and lay hands on people. They never check a thing out. Today, it's very hard to check people out because they get offended. Christians are on the top of the list.
Amen.
If you question them and about their faith, they're the first ones in the crowd to be mad at you. I'm preaching real good. Folks, this is by experience, I know. Don't question, they get offended. People don't like to be dealt with in that stuff. You know, when I was a young Christian, I got offended sometimes at God because his questions toward me, you know. He shouldn't be dealing with me this way, you know. But I've learned this, he's right and it's wrong. If he's questioning me, there's a real purpose to it. You better listen.
Amen.
And I just want to pray, if you're being questioned, you better listen.
Amen.
See, people don't listen. I've had this over the years of I know what's wrong and why things ain't working for an individual, and they want to talk to me, and I found this out. I will make mention of the thing that I know is a problem. And I would say at least half the time the people refuse it, and they never get what they want. Mm-hmm. You see, people come and what they want, they want what they want. But people get the idea, you know, don't ever arrive at the place, you know, that you think you've arrived because you're now in trouble.
Amen. Preach.
Don't think you know everything, even about any subject. Don't you think you know everything? I gave that up a long time ago, you know, because you get a revelation. You think, my God, how much did I know? I thought I knew something about that. But this changes that thing, your whole perspective, because this is another thing. There's things that you cannot get answers of prayer for if you don't go to another level. God will not allow you to keep operating on a low level. He won't allow you to do that. Mm-hmm. You may get by with it for a time, but things will quit working for you. Mm-hmm. You'll find out healing won't work for you. Things won't work for you. Why? There's a demand. It's just like we do naturally, you know. Mm-hmm. You know, our children, we changed their diapers, but we didn't at 15.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Well, the church is full. The average Christian's in the playpen. And we're changing diapers. And nobody demands that they get out. And everybody runs to their whim. And you don't? They don't like you. We don't go to your church.
Amen. Preach.
You don't change my diapers for me. I make messes and you're supposed to clean them up, Harry Potter. You're supposed to bring the wand. Wave it and make everything okay. This is what you're supposed to do. And we don't. There's no demand on it. I mean, Paul wrote about a demand on if Christians, he said, acted in certain ways, you weren't even supposed to eat with them. No, we make ministries to them. We set up ministries and have all kind of stuff for the troublemakers, you name it. The people won't grow up, won't do a darn thing. And the baby Christians never get taken care of because they can't. Because the big babies who have been around for 50 years are still, they're whining and crying the loudest in the playpen. My God, this is fun. I tell you. No. But see, we need to break these things. One of the things God's doing, and the Lord told me about it, if we want to, there's a move of God here, we got to know how to cooperate with it. And this is about preparation. It requires preparation to flow into things. I can see this myself. You know, as a younger Christian, we were more prepared for a move of God back in the 80s than they are today. Most big name ministers ain't even standing in the place we were back then. And we was babies. We were just young Christians. We're those, should say, adolescents. You know how adolescents can be, you know? But that's what we were. But we were just having a time. You know, we're just at, they ain't having a time today. They got all these cliches and this nice sayings and I'm tired of hearing it and their little books with their nice stuff that are just, you know, they can make a good fire, but that's about it. You know, they burn well. They're doing all this stuff, but they aren't dealing with people and preparing and talking to people about what's wrong. We need to know if I'm out of line. What do I need to get in line so I can prepare and get ready for something so I can cooperate with this thing? I'm into, if I can't get what I want doing something a certain way, well, I ain't going to beat a dead horse. I am tired of that Christianity, but that's the Christianity we have today. You just keep beating the same dead horse. It don't ever work. It don't work. You're 10 years down the road and you're still doing the same thing and it hasn't produced. What's wrong? Mm-hmm. I've got this thing. As I say, Ed, what's wrong? Lord, where am I missing?
Amen.
I want to know. See, I don't care what you believe. You can't stop me from getting God's blessing in my life.
Amen.
That's me.
Amen.
But if it ain't coming, I can't point to somebody. I just have to stop and say, Lord, where am I missing it? And I've learned that. That's in my vocabulary often. Lord, am I missing something? Do I need to know? What do I need to know? Where am I missing in this thing? Why? Because I want to know. I want to fix this thing. I don't want to be down the road, people laying hands on me and doing stuff, nothing ever works.
Praise God.
I don't want that.
Amen.
And today, the church world is more in tune to the ritualistic of we're going through the motions of things and have our little rituals. And they're comforting to people. Well, you don't get answers, but they comfort me at the time, make it feel like, you know, something good's happening when it ain't, when nothing happens.
Mm-hmm.
No, let's get result oriented.
Amen. Hallelujah.
Let's get result oriented. Let's get ourselves oriented. I want results. Lord, what do I need to get results? What do I need to know? You know, there's a lot we need to know. You know, sure, and we don't nearly know hardly anything of what God knows. But the Holy Spirit's in us to teach us. The Holy Spirit's job is to take what belongs to Jesus and reveal it to us. In other words, to do the ministry of Jesus and to walk and live this life that's pleasing to Jesus, it requires the Word of God and it requires the Holy Spirit. You're not going to do it any other way.
Amen.
That's what it's required. And just because you're saved, that don't mean you're on the road to anything. Other than not hell, but you may not have success and you may not know the glory. You know, every once in a while you need to step in the glory. Every once in a while you need that. You can't just keep living this plain life and never step into the glory. I've been in the glory. And I'm going to tell you, every once in a while you need a dose. Every once in a while you need to step into something that is supernatural, that is not natural. If you're just happy with the natural, it's not going to be good enough. It's not going to be. It's like I've always thought Kenneth Hagin said, once you touched into those things and you got over into those things, he said it's like an addiction. You want to get back there. He said it's like a drug. You want to get there. I know this. People ain't ever been there who aren't pushing to go there.
Amen.
They ain't never been there. Oh, my God. See, you want to go there. You want another dip. I've been there. I want to step there again. I want to get over in that place again. Hallelujah. And so you want to do that. Hallelujah. Because I found in doing that, it changes you. See, you can't get around in the glory of God without having an effect on you.
Amen.
It does. Sometime I don't even know what it's got. I'll find out, you know, time later on, I'm thinking, man, you know, that did something to me. That's getting over in that area. Getting beyond where we are naturally into things.
Amen.
See, faith takes us over into there. I mean, just think about Jesus, he's going up on the Mount of Transfiguration. He takes a few of the guys with him up there. You know, they're dumb as a stick. I mean, you could tell by what Peter said when they come off of it. He didn't get it, but I guarantee it changed him. It might not instantly, but it changed him. See, there's different worlds. There's a glory world to walk into. Most Christians never ever get out of this realm, the natural. They live and die and never step over into glory. See, there's a glory world.
Amen.
And you step over there, I'm going to tell you what. I'm just going to tell you, when you step into that, this is what I'll tell you is going to happen. Now, this ain't about, now we weren't going here today, but God, the Holy Ghost is going here. You step over into that and you don't think like you think in the natural. All the things that you think are important and the great questions you want to ask God, you step over in that area, you don't think of none of those. Why? Because those are all in your mind, your natural mind. When you get over that realm, this is the place of the Spirit. What you're asking is what's in your heart.
Amen.
This is why you got to find out what's in your heart. Most Christians only ever live a head Christianity. And I'm talking about faith people. No, you got to learn what's in your heart. You got to learn what's on the inside of you. See, faith's on the inside of you. This is why Christians aren't sure. They never really know themselves, what they're really like, what they're really believing. You got to come to that place to know what's on the inside of you. You step over into glory where it ain't your head. It's your heart. I've heard Kenneth Hagin talk about it and I found it was true. He said, you know, when you get over, he said, I had all these questions I want to ask Jesus. And he said, whenever I got caught up, he said, I always asked certain things that were in my heart. But he said, I get back and I think, boy, I should have asked this and I should have asked that. But he said, they're all things that are in your head. Mm-hmm. When you're in his presence, it's what's in your heart. What'd you put in your heart? What have you been putting in it? We got a lot in our heads. Then again, maybe that's not true. Because a lot of people know they got nothing. They haven't even been in their heads. They got... I don't know. But I want you to get this fact because simple scripture, and we all know it, it's Hebrews 11:6. It says, but without faith it's impossible to please him. For he who comes to God must believe that he is and he's a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. Without faith, you cannot please God without faith. You cannot. In other words, it's impossible to please God without faith. How does faith working? How is it? See, you can't go out here and walk or do whatever you want to do. Faith is knowing what the will of God is and walking in it.
Amen.
If you don't know what the will of God is, you can't walk in it by faith. You have to know what it is. You have to know what God's walking. Now, to walk by faith, we need to understand there's things we're going to have to do. But we found that God's a rewarder of those who sometime look to Him or sometime want something from Him. No, he said they're the diligent. That word diligent there is the idea in it is to look for something as if it's lost. If you ain't looking for something, you aren't looking for God like he's lost, you can't find him. You're not serious about your looking. There's a diligent search. There's something you have to find. There's something you want to know. There's something you need. Something is important to you. See, you have to set those things in you. What is important? What's important to know? What's important to understand? See, people today, many are not seeking to know God or to know about. They want what God has. They want the things of God, which is good. There's nothing wrong with that. But they don't know how to get them. They don't know how to go there. They have the idea, well, I'm praying and I'm doing this and that. But they're never really approaching God by faith. They don't know what God really wants. You've got to be so assured of what God wants you to have, what God wants you. Now, we know this, again, simply the fact that it is, that faith comes by hearing and hearing by the Word of God. Faith comes. It doesn't say, you read the Bible, you get faith. It doesn't say that, does it? Does it say that? It says faith comes. In other words, faith must be received. It comes. It's not automatically you get it because it comes. It's not automatic. Many people turn down faith because it don't make sense. Faith is not logical in the natural realm. It is not logic. It is not feeling. It's not about... Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Faith requires you to believe things that naturally are not practical. in the spirit realm, they're totally practical. This is why if you don't get in touch in the spirit realm, you don't know much about the areas of faith, because faith is operating. That realm must become more real to you than this one. Amen. Or you will not be able to believe for things because they come from that realm. You will only be able to believe what you can see from this realm and feel from this realm. That's where you'll do. Faith's not of this realm. Faith is of the spirit realm. A God you cannot see brings to pass things for you into this realm through the laws that He has established to bring them from here, from there to here. That's what it is. That's how it works. So, we're believing something. We're believing in an unseen God. We're believing that words that don't make sense in this realm. Believe you have something when you can't see it or feel it. See, that's what Mark 11, 23 and 24 are about. We go overlook there. You know, faith comes by hearing. We could say this. Healing comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. The Holy Spirit's the teacher. Understand, this hearing is by revelation. It's not by reading. You may read and the Holy Spirit give you a revelation, but you need to, that's why it says, we teach on meditation. You meditate till you get the revelation. You can read the Bible through every year. Don't mean you're going anywhere. Doesn't mean anything. Now, it's nice to read the Bible. You might have a lot of, you know, things that you can quote and things from there. But what really brings to us, faith comes from revelation. Faith is what the Holy Spirit takes of the Word and reveals to you and I. You and I, we realize how good we have it today. I mean, the people in the Old Testament, the apostles living in Jesus' time while He was in the earth, they weren't even in the same ball field I'm on. Amen. They didn't get there till after He was rose from the dead. We look at that and look at those guys and say, how could they do that? Those guys were dead men. They weren't born again. We look at them, we look at things, you know, we look back, well, you know, David had a guy killed and this and that. David was a dead man. Don't you go do what David did and think you'll get away with it. Amen. There's an expectation on you. You're born again. You ain't going to pull what David pulled. Amen. You're not going to do that. There's an expectation God has of you that is greater. But the church don't see themselves greater. They marvel at the guys in the Old Testament. I marvel at the fact they walked as well as he did. I mean, Abraham, I can't find Christians today that even want to walk like Abraham. Can't believe God for 2 seconds. Say they're full of the Holy Ghost. I know they're full of things, but it ain't that.
Amen.
We need to get things straightened out here. We marvel at that. It's because what? We don't know ourselves. We don't know who we really are. We read the book, say, well, I'm in Christ. That there's nice, sweet saying. Do you realize what you really are?
Amen. Hallelujah.
Woo! Take a running spell here.
Amen.
Having trouble with faith. Dear God, the only trouble we have faith is caused so much unbelief. We have bought this thing. You know, we're just these old sojourners down here. You know, we're just going along here. Put your backpack on and we're going to go for a hike. And we're just walking down here. And all the hills are hard and the things, you know. Life is tough. You just got to, you know, walk along. Maybe they'll get a nice long face, you know, just to add to it. Hallelujah. See, we deal with things. We don't deal with adversity. We're looking at the Old Testament, and we use them as our example. There's things that we can see from them. But I'll tell you what, we're walking in a whole different place.
Hallelujah.
We're in a whole different ball game, folks. Mm-hmm. Glory to God. Those people were little leagues. We're in the major leagues.
Amen.
We just play like little leaguers. See, what people... People are kind of trying, just like the Lord said to me years ago, and I've said this time and time again. They're trying to be, He said, my people were trying to become what I already made them.
Amen.
We don't believe what we are. We're trying to become what we are. You can't become what you are. You either are or you ain't.
Amen.
The Bible says you're more than a conqueror. It didn't say you become more than a conqueror. We're trying to become more a conqueror. And they'll preach to you like you got to become more a conqueror. You know what? I don't feel like a conqueror. I don't feel many days like more than a conqueror. But I am, whether I feel like it. See, we don't talk by faith. We talk by our problems and our things and our little wimpy, whiny, whatever we're going through. We don't say what we are.
Amen.
We don't talk about the glory that's in us.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord.
And you know what it does? It's a faith killer. On the other hand, we're trying to meditate on the Word to get into faith. Talking like, you know, we're Eve in the garden going to eat the apple. Well, you know, that's what, you know, it's like, well, you know, I heard Christian minister say, well, I put on my pants like everybody else. Yeah, you're as natural as everybody else is. That's why you do that. I don't compare myself as being like the natural man. Hallelujah. I'm a saint. I'm not an ain't. I'm a saint. I'm a child of God. I'm born again. The Spirit of God lives in me. I'm a priest of God and I'm a king.
Amen.
I'm not trying to become any of that. Our crazy master made that happen. I can't in my imagine why he would have done such a thing, but he did it. I'm going to take it. It's his fault if he didn't want me to do it. He gave it to me. So let's take it. Let's be the kings and priests. See, if we want to walk in the healing ministry of Jesus, we can't live where we're at.
Amen.
We can't hook up. If I know if Kenneth Hagin's prophecies, I've heard others prophesy and talk about this revival that is supposed to be outshine every revival on the earth. Well, if it's gonna cause the people have to outshine. Well, they sure ain't doing it. Why? Because we've left a lot of the teaching that we, you know, we thought, when I was back in the 80s, all of us knuckleheads thought we were more than conquerors. We did. That was the norm. We thought, we talked things that they used to try to tame us down. You always get the religious people do that. You know, the ones that are real spiritual. You gotta tame it down a little bit. You know, it was too late. I was burning and it didn't do any good. Water, they threw it on the fire. It just steamed off just like that. We just, you know, we, why? There's a move of God and we're cooperating with that move.
Amen.
You know, like Kenneth Hagin said, don't worry about wildfire. There's always enough wet blankets in the church to put it out. Wet blanket Christianity. We must come out of that. A move of God cannot have a wet blanket Christianity.
Amen. Amen.
We are extremists because we operate in a realm that is extreme. The realm of faith is an extreme realm that can bring extreme things to pass. If you want to be normal and act like everybody else, there's a church upstairs. You can go there. And that's you'll be in the norm. Now, I ain't knocking this, but they're walking where they walk. But I'm going to tell you, they ain't walking where I walk.
Amen. Amen.
We're extremists. I'm not like everybody else.
Thank you, Lord.
I'm not like most of the church world.
Amen.
They think I'm an idiot. And I don't mind.
Amen.
Hey, I can understand why they think I'm an idiot. I understand. I'm not criticizing them. They think I'm crazy because of what I believe.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
And, you know, you have a hard time. You get over in this area. I know. Hey, I'm criticized by experts, you know. The people who are, you know, they're you know, big churches have had ministers criticize me, you know. Mm-hmm. Well, in the way I believe. They're only interested in numbers. They ain't interested in God.
That's amen. Right. Preach. Amen.
Right. They ain't interested in doing the will of God. You know, they get crowds and get money.
Amen.
They get crowds and get money. That there's and today, that seems to be the level of status. You have something's big, it's just, it ain't cooperating with God.
Amen.
Many Christians have a pretty good life. And not cooperating with God, they have a pretty good life. And they have no interest unless they change. And I'm just going to tell you, change is coming. It's already upon us. And there's many Christians who are going to be very sorrowful. Because you know what? They're going to be running to people asking you, pray for me and get me out of my mess.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
See, we need to understand these things. Hallelujah. See, I believe in glory. But I believe you're prepared for glory. It's something you walk into, you're ready, you know? It's just like, you know, electricity. You just can't run any amount of electricity through any wire. You know, you take your little fan and you plug it in there. You know, you don't hook that to 220. You watch that wire. You watch that fan go, and that smoke come out of that motor. And then don't, whatever do, don't touch the wire. It's hot. But see, it's the same way with us in our Christian, hooking up over an area in the Spirit.
Amen.
If you're a 110 Christian, you ain't going to hook up to 220. I'm just going to tell you. You ain't. No, it'll burn you up.
Amen.
We don't understand. God moves in us and does through us what He can. It amazes me. When I look and follow my own Christian walk and seeing God doing things and responding to me about things, and sometimes I'm just amazed that He did what He did do, because you get to a place, you start to understand some things and say, man, He was just really being nice to me back there. But you need to understand there's nothing wrong with that. He was encouraging me to go further. If God's not encouraging you to go further, it's because you ain't doing nothing.
Amen. Hallelujah.
That's not, you need to understand, you know. Mm-hmm. See, I learned that in the natural, just working in a place and that stuff over people. I found people that really did, they got to their level. Mm-hmm. You know, we didn't go to them about promotion. Mm-hmm. If I wanted some special work on, I didn't go to the guy that all ever he did was just did what he had to do. And I never went to him.
Amen.
I never went to God that's always trying to get everybody else to do his stuff and he wasn't even doing his own. I never went to him. But I would look for people. People were good at what they're doing, and you could see they're learners. They want to learn things. Get that guy. This is one thing I've found out, and I found out to be true. They would do this lots of times. You'd see in management, they'd say, find the guy that's busy and give him another job to do. Why? Because he'll do it. You find the guy that's not, he ain't even taking care of hardly what he got. So that's today, we're in a big trouble because we have this thing and idea of, well, this is my job. I never worked like that in my life. I always learn other things around me. I always learn other things around me to do.
Amen.
You know, see, I wouldn't be very good. See, my dad wasn't like that. My dad went to work when he was younger. He had went to work for Bethlehem Steel and he quit because he said, I couldn't work under the union because he said, you weren't allowed to do anything but what your job was. And he said, lots of times your job weren't nothing. You weren't doing anything. He said, I just couldn't stand it there. He said, nobody was doing nothing. Nobody was working. I wonder why they closed down. He said, I couldn't stand it. He said, I'd go to work. He said, half the employees would crawl up in these racks and that stuff where they had steel rod and stuff and lay up there and sleep at night. He said, nobody's doing nothing. He said, the boss came to me. I was just doing my job. He told me to slow down because I was making the other guys look bad.
Yep.
Today, that would be, you know, the guys who are rewarded today. In other words, we're seeing that in our system. If you're worthless and no good, you'll get rewarded. And if you do your job, you're going to get in trouble. We're up to our necks in this thing today. But I'm going to tell you what, you need to understand this. God has not joined this system.
Right.
And God will not reward your laziness spiritually. I'm just telling you, this is not knocking anybody. People need to know this and hear this out here. You need to tell people. People are coming and asking, just like John Alexander, he didn't pray for the first 250 people. He wouldn't pray for them. He said they weren't ready to receive healing. So what he did, finally a lady came in, and she was a black lady, and she had her feet were in bags. Her feet were swelled up to the point they were splitting open and stuff like that. He saw she had faith, laid hands on her. She was instantly healed. Out of all that crowd, she was the only one that got healed. Because John Alexander, he wasn't a fake. He wasn't this guy out here just laying hands on empty heads. We don't question people of where they stand. You know, I want to know if I'm not in the right place to get what I need. I want to know that. How many have been frustrated? You went somewhere to find out information about something, and you went and did what they told you to do and found out they didn't know what they told you was wrong to do. It wasn't the right thing. Oh, just go to a church. It happened all the time. They'll tell you, and it's all wrong. Preachers will tell you wrong all the time because they don't know. They don't know what to do about it either. We're living in this society today that's like this. We're asking people for information they can't even work or neither know. You've got to go back to the Bible. And this goes back to the Word of God. This is what you have to come back to. We went through Mark 11, 23 and 24, where Jesus said, "For surely I say to you, whatever you say to this mountain, be removed and cast in the sea, and you does not doubt in his heart, but believe that those things he will say will be done. He will have whatever he says." Then he says, "Therefore," or because of this principle, because of that, he said, "I say to you, whatever thing you ask when you pray, believe that you receive them and you will have them." When will you get them? When you believe you received them. Not until you believe you got them will you ever see them. See, you believe you have something you can neither see nor feel.
Amen.
You know, sometimes I've had the Lord do this. You lay hands on a person. You know, if you did, I'll guarantee you, most of the time, if I would went through a Christian life at different times, I ministered at places and did things, laying hands on people, if I would have stopped and said, "How many of you God healed, I laid hands on you?" You wouldn't believe how many people, they'd have a few people raise their hand. You'd say to others, "How many of you had laid hands on, but you didn't get healed?" All these people raise their hands. They didn't believe they received anything. They only believe if they feel better. That's the natural realm. See, this is why this is hard to do. Because you need to understand, you're taught. You go to school, you're taught all the natural. Science is right. God is wrong. Science got it. Science, we don't accept it because we don't understand it. Now, they do lie about that. Scientists are liars. Oh, they talk about gravity and all stuff. They don't know why gravity works. But yet they sit around and talk about it and act like they know things from it. They don't even know how it works. But they'll talk about it. They see what gravity does. So they talk about what it does. They'll talk about what it does. But you don't touch over in those areas. You don't touch into areas where, you know, you don't ever think about those places unless somebody says, "Okay, we have can prove this by this or that or the other thing, and then therefore it's so." See, the spiritual realm don't exist. The God realm don't exist because we have all this stuff told. This is what's important in life. This is it. I'm going to tell you what. You're going to one day, you're going to leave this earth and you will find out quickly what was important. Many Christians that people call good Christians go off to heaven with no reward whatsoever because they were nice people. They didn't lie, cheat, steal, do that. But they get to heaven. They've never walked in the plan of God in their entire life. They were good, nice, good people and that kind of stuff. But they never walked in the plan of God at all in their life. They didn't even know. Everything was done from a natural perspective. We did all these good things, you know. I was feeding the poor, but never preached the gospel to them one time. Never questioned it. Never did anything. Never did anything. And they talk about today, do the ministry of Jesus. Have a soup kitchen. I ain't against feeding people. I'm against a lot of the ways they do it today. Because they will, you know, we had in the service, they'd go on sick call. They had said, the sick, the lame, and the lazy. You know, they always add that because that's what you get. You're always going to be feeding a bunch of lazy. Good preacher. But see, nobody deals with any of that. They help those people stay in there. And when you go to heaven, you're going to find out God's going to deal with you on what you did to help keep people stay on the bottom of the barrel. See, nobody, those people can't get changed lives. They got to be changed. Amen. And they can't get changed without the true gospel preached to them.
Amen.
They can't change. It ain't going to change. You're not going to change them by feeding them. That is not works.
Amen.
We won't look at the ministry of Jesus because we need to understand this of what we need to come back to in Christianity, which we have left. We need to come back to. The ministry of Jesus consisted of three things. His ministry. Three things. Teaching, preaching, and healing. The scripture says so over and over and over and over and over. In fact, it says it 16 times in the New Testament. We have doctrines that have a whole lot less scripture than that. that we made doctrines out of. People say, go to do the ministry of Jesus. See, everybody might not be called to be a teacher, but we can always proclaim. We can always take people to Scripture. We don't do that. People come in and pray for me with this. Nobody asks him what it is, throws any Scripture out, and I say, we go through the routine. Most people don't know how or what to pray. People don't know how to pray the difference between a saint and a sinner. They don't know. So you need to understand when you're dealing with a saint, you're a Christian, you're dealing with somebody who has a covenant. You approach God on a different level concerning that individual than you do a sinner. Sinner don't have a covenant with God. I mean, Jesus even clarified it. It didn't mean a sinner couldn't get something. Jesus had the centurion who was a Gentile. He got what he wanted from him. It was a distinct difference. In fact, we're dealing with him and Jesus is dealing. Jesus is amazing because he's around all these Jews. In other words, all of it, he said, I haven't found this kind of faith in all Israel. Like he said, out of every Jew that he was around, he never found one Jew had as much faith as a centurion who was a Gentile. He never told the disciples ever one time they had great faith, though a Gentile woman, he said, did. The Syrophoenician woman, he said, oh, great is your faith. I just want to tell you that I'm going to tell you this. Don't get offended. I've run into sinners with greater faith than Christians. Oh, yeah. They listen. I've had sinners listen to what I tell them to do, and they got what they wanted. I've had saints tell them exactly what to do, and they refused, and I did a funeral for them.
Amen. Preach.
Woo! Good preaching, Pastor. See, we're covenant people. When I pray for an individual, somebody, you know, something happens to somebody, I pray for an individual. I go to God on the basis of that person. As if they're born again, you're a child of God. I talk to God about them and about the covenant that they have with God. See, people, we just all throw everybody thing in a can and just shake it all up. I didn't learn this from anybody other than the Bible and listen to the Holy Ghost. I didn't have somebody teach me this. Just read the Bible sometime. You ought to figure something out, you know, just... Other than that, just we're reading through the Bible. Yeah. So then I got all the numbers and I read all those names and my mind was like... See, let's quit numbering right now. That math thing, that ain't mine. I just... But see, you got to get over there. I mean, we just had a thing with my daughter, her mother-in-law, had a stroke. And, they said she was in the hospital. She couldn't talk and her one side was complete. She couldn't move or anything like that. And they asked us, they said about, you know, praying and that stuff with them. And I know from her standpoint, she's a Christian and, this and that. And she, you know, was a spirit-filled lady. And so, she lives out in Washington State there. She doesn't live in Seattle, thank God, but she's living out there. I just went to God. Now, I know when they talk about praying and everything, you know, they get over. I don't listen to anything they talk about praying. When they ask me to pray, I don't pay any attention. I've learned when you have these group things like that, because they have their way that they're going, and I just, we'll talk about God to what the Word says. We'll just talk about it with that. And I just knew to pray, and I just talked about God. This is your child. You see, I know people once you get into this really earnest thing of prayer, you know, sometimes there's things you really need to spend time to pray to bring it past. Or sometimes you just know inside. You just know inside. You better learn to know on the inside. Or you'll waste a lot of time praying, saying nothing but destroying your own faith. You got to learn to listen on the inside. And I prayed for her and I prayed some for her. And there that day when they said about it. But when I went to bed that night, I just laid there in the bed when I went to bed and I just talked to the Lord about her. And, you know, according to the Scripture, but this is a child of God we're talking about here. And so he just talked about it. And I just knew on the inside, don't be concerned. This is going to be taken care of. She's completely normal. She's completely fine. You know? And I'm sure, I know this. People were just wringing their hands praying. I know this. They're wringing their hands praying. See, that's why, you know, sometimes you need to, trying to get breakthrough some things, sometimes you'll have to really get a hold of it. But you got to learn to listen on the inside. Many people overprayed things and God and hurt things more than they would have helped if they'd have paid attention to their inner man. Listen on the inside. Hallelujah. Knowing when you got it. So when I knew when I got it, I only had it. I probably maybe only talked to the Lord about 10 minutes about it. I was planning on spending a lot more time in prayer about that, talking to the Lord about it. And I knew it, just went over and went to sleep. Got a text the next day. And she's up walking around talking just fine.
Hallelujah.
Amen. Hallelujah. God is good. But you know how that worked? Ed didn't have a magic wand. Ed didn't pull out Harry Potter's wand. It didn't. You know what? Just faith in God. I got to hold God and talk to God about it. And he's ended up speaking to me and saying, yeah, it's okay. You got it. It's okay. Just let it alone. Okay. Ed ain't the healer. Mm-hmm. Ed ain't the healer. See, we're talking about Jesus Christ. The church has all kinds of things that they think bring healing. It's faith in Jesus Christ. He's the healer. He's the deliverer.
Amen.
It's not some common. We've been given the name which is above every name. And that name, you lay hands on the sick and it says they'll recover. See, people turn around and want people healed. We don't even tell them those things. You know what the Bible says? The Bible says, I can lay hands on you and you'll recover. We'd be scared to death to say that. What if it don't work? Well, didn't tell me they're going to heal it, so you tell them they're going to recover. We wouldn't separate. You know what? If I lay hands on you, you're going to get better. Don't worry about it. Amen. Oh, no, if I say that, what if it don't work? The unbelief? You got to get over in the spirit so you're doing, you're listening there and not in the natural, because your dumb head will talk you right out of it. Your flesh will be worried whether people are going to like you or not. I got to have them like me, you know. If they don't like what's going to happen to me, if they call me names, oh, I'm being bullied. Oh, yeah. All this is going on. The devil has learned how to work this thing. And people have learned how to cooperate with him in it. Our worth is tied into the things of the natural instead of the things of the spirit. We're kings and priests. And we're not living a life. And kings and priests don't mean you're walking around driving Rolls Royces and all that. If you can't get what you want in prayer, I don't care how much money you got. I don't care. You ain't spiritual.
Amen.
There's nothing spiritual about you. When a church has a lot of people ask me to come and minister things to them because the pastor, they can't. And there's Rhema graduates and everything else, but they can't get somebody else coming. It's like, hold it. These are things you should be doing all the time in your church.
Mm-hmm.
They don't know how to deal with the devil. Why? Because he's in the pulpit. Oh. Look, I ain't saying he's the devil, but understand, they're yielding to the things that ain't right.
Amen.
It robs faith. Not having confidence to deal with, we're supposed to have total confidence to deal in. The Bible, Jesus said, hey, in my name you'll cast out devils, you know? It wasn't any kind of special thing. It was some special anointing. See, understand, get these things in, are these things true? We need to go back to these simplistic things and sit down. Is this stuff true or not? Do we have authority over Satan? Do we really do? See, we can pray for our nation all we want and spend all the time we want. A lot of it's worthless prayer. There's no faith anything's going to happen or anything at all. We wouldn't know what to do with deal with the devil at all. You see, this is what's going on out here. And why? Because we've left the simplistic things, these simple things that we were taught and told. You know, you don't have a big name. I don't care if you got it. You can get things done that some of these big names will never get done. They can't. Some of these guys are beyond, and women are beyond help. They're not going to enter in. Why? They're happy where they're at. Men, people want notoriety. I don't. I watch what happens. You need to be very careful. You grow in notoriety. Most people don't do well growing in it. They don't. You got to admit it. If God's going to put you out on the front of something, you better learn to be very humble before you ever get there. Because you're going to shoot everything in the foot when you get out there. Who are people to question me? You know, who is it? You know, I'm so-and-so and I have this. I've been told. Well, we must know more than you. We have a bigger ministry. I said, well, then the Muslims know a lot more than you because they're bigger than you are. They got more people in their religion than you got. So they must be right. Is this what we do to measure ourselves? They're doing that. Measuring by numbers. Measuring by bank accounts. Measuring because they're no account. That isn't what, that's not, see, this is why you cannot judge by what you see. Because one guy can be over here and have a lot walking with God. Another guy over there, he ain't even in the ball. He ain't even a Christian, but he says he is and everybody follows, you know? I mean, when I came in the kingdom, everybody was on the Sam Walton kick. Because Walmart was coming up and, oh, Sam Walton, and he's a Christian, and look how God blessed that man, and all this kind of stuff. And it went on, and everybody would throw his name out there. Every time you go to a seminar, and they want to talk about money, they throw Sam Walton's name out there. They're there telling you about giving money. Sam Walton didn't tithe. He believed his giving was giving people jobs. They throw his name out there. When I found this stuff out, I thought, these scoundrels don't even know him. They're just using it to get money.
That's right.
And they don't care what they do to get it. Don't check things out. Watch what name you use and throw out there. Watch what you do. Why? Because there's sinners around that know what's going on and are smarter than the Christians. Be as wise as a serpent, as harmless as a dove. Be wise as a serpent. Christians are just usually dumb as a stick. They don't check anything out. See, this is what wisdom does. Faith is not based on all kind of skeptical things. You might think this or that. It's founded in this book, in this words here. Here's your truth. If you know the truth will make you free. The only thing that will make you free is the truth.
Amen.
That's it. What people come up and they're designing tales and everything, the truth. You must preach the gospel. How did John Alexander die? We know not to pray for those other people. It isn't he didn't like people. He had seen major miracles, all kinds of stuff. But he understood this. If gifts of the Spirit weren't in manifestation, you don't get people who ain't in faith healed.
That's right. Amen. Preach.
Kenneth Hagin said this concerning prayer. He said, most Christians will not get healed by their prayers. They're not going to. He said, now that doesn't mean they can't be. He said, you have gifts of the Spirit going into operation. But he said, if they don't, they're not going to get healed because they're not in a place of faith. They're not praying by faith. They're just praying, trying to get something. They want something from God. See, it's a whole different thing than wanting something and be able to believe it belongs to you.
Amen.
That's a whole different thing. That's what faith is. Faith believes it's yours, therefore you can require of the Lord. In fact, the word ask, one of the definitions, ask is to require. They don't use that in translations much because who are you to require of God? God said, go ahead and do it. Require. Require what belongs to you. You don't have a right to require what belongs to you. Healing belongs to you. You have the right to require it. God is required to give it to you or he's a liar. He's not a liar.
Amen.
See, we're not bold about this stuff and we need to come to a place of boldness. Number one is like the Lord told me when I was a young Christian. He said, more confident than you are about my word and what it'll do. He said, when you tell people, he said, that confidence will grab them. We know this. People are not being grabbed today because there's very little confidence in the church. That doesn't mean everybody is. There's people out here that got confidence, but it's not the majority, for sure. We're trying to get God to bless us. I'm going to tell you what, God, don't pray for God to bless me. I am blessed. I'm blessed with every spiritual blessing in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Could you give me any more than every one of them? Is there a basket that has been left out that we didn't know about? See, we need to get ourselves over into this in our thinking. What are we doing? Hallelujah. Our covenant is the most remarkable covenant that's ever been made with humanity. No humans have ever had a covenant between one another that even comes close to what the covenant is that we have in Christ Jesus. We got everything God has because of faith in Christ Jesus. We got Jesus' inheritance. Is he God? Jesus ain't God. He's God. Well, then, what wouldn't this be God's inheritance? Jesus was made Lord over heaven and earth. We're in Him. Wouldn't we be lords here? See, we're acting like we're trying to get Him to do things. We got to get out of this thinking. We got to get over into the thinking. Kings and priests. Kings. When I was a younger Christian, some of that stuff seemed to be common with us. We just walked in places. You know, we were lunatics. But we were wonderful lunatics in the kingdom. We just simply believe things that the Bible said was true. And see, you have to get educated into stupidity. You don't go there right away. You have to get educated into it. You need to be set under things for a long time and be taught how to be done. We lost that. See, people lost their imagination. God says it would do exceedingly abundantly above what you can imagine or think. The majority of Christian, even spirit-filled people, if you talk about imagination, they'll think it's demonic, what you're talking about. Mm-hmm. Yet the Scripture says God will do beyond what I can imagine.
Amen.
Or Hallelujah. Think. It's amazing. But see, we've lost these things that are here, and they have been lost because of natural teaching. The natural realm teaching is what's really important. You want to be a success here. I want to be a success in the kingdom.
Amen.
I want, when I go to heaven, God say, well done, good and faithful servant. Say, wow, that was quite a bank account you had down there. That was a cool house you lived in. This was it. Wow, was that something? You didn't do anything for me, but that was, you lived good. You can use the principles of God to bless your life in this side and do nothing for God. Other thing is this, when the Lord spoke to me things that He told me over time when I was a young Christian, He told me this, motive is everything.
Amen.
Why? Why do you want healed? Why do you want money? What is it to you? Wrong motives. See, that's why I always think about this, when I came in the kingdom, you know, people, we just wanted to please God. We were just after God. We were in a time, God, there was all kind of things going on. I mean, God was using us. There's things that happened through me that were absolutely supernatural, fantastic. All kind of things that happened. But you know what? I mean, we didn't know a lot. All we knew is we're going to trust God. We didn't care what anybody else said. We didn't give a rip who said what about it. Hey, the Bible says this. This is what we're going to do. Say, well, I'm sure the pastor ain't going to like that. So you think people get excited, miracles take place. No, they don't.
Amen.
There's many people, many times people can be in ministry, and even people who's not in ministry, but they don't want somebody younger than them or somebody who might know a little bit more doing something for God that makes, well, you know, He didn't do that through me, you know, and you need to tame down because it don't make me look good. I was in a church, and that's what we were doing. The older guys wanted me to calm down some because they didn't want things, because it didn't make them look good. Instead of, I see God move somebody, let's get a cheering section going. Let's glory to God. He's using somebody. Hallelujah. Somebody's believing. No, people today, I wonder if that was really God. And that guy's looking back, and I wonder if he's really a Christian. We should be excited.
Amen.
You know, I do this. I don't want to get upset if God blesses somebody else financially. I look at it, the fact of even somebody, I don't think they're walking like they should, but I don't condemn it. I think, glory to God. They got blessed.
Amen.
If they don't do right with it, that's up to them.
Amen.
Hallelujah. See, I don't want to knock somebody else's blessing because I sure want mine.
Amen.
See, you walk in that light. See, we need to come back to these simplicities of things and turn around. We have too much. It's one of the things the Lord, you know, spoke to me about that stuff, because we're just full of negative today. We're full of the if you watch the news and you go online, you're looking at things. There's too much negative and people saying too much. There's too much said all the time. People are listening to people's problems all the time. That isn't ministry. You know, it's one thing as I learned, you know, from Kenneth Hagin and stuff, and ministering to people. Lots of times, you know, unless God says anything, I don't want to know somebody's story. It can affect me being able to hear the Spirit and what to do. What you want is answered, not to tell everybody what your story is about what your problem is. People love to tell. See, I got to explain all my problems. I got to explain all my troubles so you know how to minister to me. See, this is how we figure out how to minister. We have to know all the natural. And nobody knows a thing about the Spirit. But that's the place where the blessing comes from. That's the place where the answer comes. No, we just spent all of our time glorifying the problem. Sometimes God may lead you that way, but I found out, because see what happens. If you know all this stuff, if you turn around and give a person an answer, the devil's going to come right to them and say, well, you told them this, so they knew that. So well, they're going to turn their faith off. Bang! See, Bob says, lay hands on the sick and recover. It didn't say, listen to their story, then lay the hands on them in the name of Jesus, and they'll get better. Did you notice Jesus didn't listen to the woman's story until after she got healed? And it said she told him everything. Glory to God! See, everybody's trying to operate over in this natural realm. Let's get over the glory realm. Let's get over, because we need touch. We need glory to touch this side. I don't know any other thing to change this. God says if we believe His Word, or we get in His Word and we believe His Word, if we do that from this side, it will come. He said, lay hands on the sick, they will recover. He didn't say they were going to get healed instantly. They're going to get better. See, and people come and they want, well, pray for me. Pray for you what? What do you want me to do? Well, I want God to heal me. That's good. You might stay sick and you might die wanting to get healed. What is it you're believing? We don't say a thing to a person about that. You know, our family members call and that stuff, the ones that don't know a stick, a thing about God, nothing else. And they just call and they get trouble. You ask to pray. And you know, God may help, use you to help somebody for a little while, but a lot of things you ain't going to ever change. You have to stop and say something to them. Amen. Oh, I don't know. They might not come anymore. If I talk to them, they'll get mad. I won't see the grandkids. What's their problem? Amen. Your grandkids need more in Jesus than you ain't probably belong to Him either. Amen. Let's get real about this stuff.
Amen. Hallelujah.
Am I going to obey Jesus, or am I going to keep following the natural? Mm-hmm. I want them to get saved. I'll tell you what, they don't want to throw me out of their lives because I can help them. They throw me out, they're downright fools. And I've run into many of them. Downright fools. I've learned this. Somebody knows something about God, you don't throw them out of your life. You keep them around. Because everybody, there's people out here that I may have certain areas I'm really good at that I'm not in others, and I know other people are good in other areas. Hallelujah. Well, you find out things from them folks. Don't throw them out of your life. They might not know other things and may be a little squirrely, but there's things that they know and they're good at. Keep that around. You may need an answer there, and as a person can get you one.
Amen.
Kenneth Hagin talked about it. He said, listen to a minister, and he said, this minister was knocking some things about the faith message. He said, I could have got offended, but he said, I sit there and I listened a while, and he said, this guy made a statement about a certain thing in Scripture. He said, I had been talking to the Lord for 15 years about that, and he said, the guy gave me the answer. He said, he spoke the answer out to it. He said, I've been dealing with that. He said, I've been looking at that for 15 years. This guy, he said, I just couldn't get a hold of what it was. He said, that guy just spoke out the answer. He said, I knew what it was. As soon as he said it, I knew what it was. Hallelujah. Praise God. But see, we got to get over where Jesus. So this is why Christ the healer, if we bring Jesus back as number one on the list, for healer, we're going to have to do that. The doctor can't be number one on your thoughts.
Amen.
He can't be the first. You know, right away. It can't operate now. We got to stop. Why? Bring Jesus to the forefront. Well, see, I find people do this. God's not against doctors. I thank God for what doctors have been able to do. Thank God for what, it's like Brother Hagin said, it'd be a lot of dead Christians if it wouldn't be for doctors. We need to, I appreciate what they could do. But we need to understand this is we can't turn around and turn everything over into their hands. It ain't working. Haven't you noticed that? We got this COVID and we turned it over to the doctors. Didn't it go wonderful? Oh, hallelujah to Jesus. Praise God for the doctors. Ah, they did wonderful with this thing. Gave us the best shot in the world. Which we can, they're running into major problems now where people, genetic problems because of these shots and stuff and things going on. People are going to need some deliverance. They want to save the world. Didn't know Jesus already did that. Even the church didn't know he already did that. He had done healed the whole world, but nobody knew it because nobody's preaching it. He did. And then we had ministers saying, we're going to give our way out of this thing. Why don't you preach the gospel and shut up?
Amen. Amen. Preach, Pastor.
People get healed by preaching healing, not by preaching finances.
Amen.
We have these kind of things going on. See, we need to get back. So if we take in Matthew 4:23, it says, Jesus went about all Galilee, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the gospel of the kingdom and healing all kinds of sickness and all kinds of disease among the people. In Matthew 9:35, then Jesus went about the cities and the villages, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the gospel of the kingdom, healing every sickness and every disease among the people. Just see, Matthew named that thing twice in his thing. In other words, reminding us, this is what he was doing. See, he had a healing ministry. It's because he had a successful teaching and preaching. People were coming to listen to hear. You need to demand that the people. If they don't want to sit down and listen, you need to tell them. Don't expect a lot.
Amen.
Oh, we don't want to do that. You know. Well, they might not like us, and then we gotta try to. Oh, we gotta be careful in how we deal with this. Yeah, you gotta love them more than Jesus. That'll fix it. Luke 9:11 says, but when the multitudes knew it, they followed him, and he received them and spoke to them about the kingdom of God and healed those who had need of healing. Now I want you to see this. This is Mark as Jesus in his hometown. And really this is a wonderful answer because to this dilemma of teaching and preaching. It says, then he went out from there, came to, this is Mark 6 in verse 1, came to his own country and his disciples followed him. And when the Sabbath had come, he began to teach in the synagogue and many hearing him was astonished, saying, now look, they're hearing him. He's there talking about it. They don't like what they're hearing. He says, where did this man get these things and what wisdom is this which is given to him that such mighty works are performed by his hands? Now they know mighty works are done by his hand, but they're knocking it. Why? Hey, I was in this town before he was. Who does he think he is? Oh, yeah. Oh, that goes on in the church world like crazy. Remember, this is the synagogue. This is the church of the day. This is the church of today. Who does he think he is? Well, it says, is this not the carpenter, the son of Mary, the brother of James, Joseph, and Judas, and Simon? And are not his sisters here with us? And they were offended by a guy that can do miracles. Because why? We knew him when he was just a carpenter. And he ought to still be just a carpenter. I was more important in this town than he was. I was the mayor. Didn't you know that? Who's he? If it was really God, he'd be using me. Hey, I heard stuff like that back in the 80s. I heard things that they looked at God started using people from all different denominations and, oh, the offended, spirit-filled folk. Well, this ain't God, or he'd be using us. He couldn't have used them, no way. So I just... He was doing better with the sinners than he was some of them people. Well, it goes on. But Jesus said to them, prophet is not without honor except in his own country, among his own relatives and his own house. But listen to this. He says, now, he could do no mighty work there except that he laid his hands on a few sick people and healed them. Now, P.C. Nelson, who was one of the top in the nation in his day in the Greek language, and he said about this thing here, he had made mention of it. He said really this idea is people were being healed with minor ailments. In other words, people with minor things. This wasn't any major kind of healing. He couldn't do any mighty works there. In other words, small things got healed. Small things were done. You know, even this, I found out you go to places, I mean, you'll get stuff and that. Some small things might get done, but any mighty works get hard to do because if people ain't cooperating with faith, you can't You can't make, Jesus couldn't, you can't.
Amen.
See, people will want a miracle out of you. They're not believing in Jesus. You're supposed to do it for them. Their unbelief is not supposed to be a problem. You're Mr. Faith, you do it. People leave the idea that Mr. Faith can do it. Mm-hmm. No, I always tell people, you're going to have to believe Jesus. Mm-hmm. Ed don't heal the sick. Jesus heals the sick.
Amen.
I lay my hands on him. If he don't do it, it don't get done.
Mm-hmm.
Jesus be the one.
Amen.
Now listen what Jesus did. It said, verse 6, and he marveled because of their unbelief. Now, what's his answer to this? Then he went about the villages in a circuit teaching. Faith comes by teaching. Faith and teaching, like what's he doing? He's teaching these Jews. He goes around teaching. His normal was to go through the synagogues and to teach the word. Teaching is explaining. Preaching is proclaiming. See, we proclaim the gospel to people to get saved. We don't teach sinners. We teach covenant people. See, people keep kind of teach sinners. Can't teach a sinner. He don't have the Holy Ghost to reveal things to him. We preach the gospel. What the Holy Spirit will do is reveal his need for Jesus Christ as a Savior. He gets born again. Now he'll have the teacher in him and he can teach him. And he will get revelation from teaching. That's how it works. Now, most of the church world doesn't know that. Not even most Spirit-filled people don't know that. They think you just, you know, everything's out here, you just do it all the same. Teaching is for the saints. That's what we do. We go to them. They were covenant people. What did he do? They have an unbelief problem. The solving the unbelief problem is teaching. If you can't, person is unbelief and you can't get them to listen to teaching, just forget it. Mm-hmm. Tell them. They ain't going to sit down and listen. They ain't going to listen to be taught. There's no point to this. They got to sit down and listen.
Mm-hmm.
See, Jesus had the same things as we do today. So what did he do? He began to go teach. Wow, they had an unbelief problem. Teaching is the answer to the unbelief problem.
Amen.
Teaching. See, I know people in this is like, and I've had people over time, they do this, well, I just read the Bible. I don't read other books and other things or do lists of this. I just read the Bible. Well, you're very limited knowledge and you're pretty stupid because Jesus put other gifts, it says, in the Bible. He put apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, teachers in the church for the perfection, for their perfection. If you can do it without them, then you don't, who are you? This special person? I've never found a person that does that kind of thing. They always run into some serious problems in life. Very serious. I don't need him. I've had people tell me, Holy Ghost could teach me just like somebody else. I said, well, no, he can't. Because if you'd listened to his teaching, he'd have told you you needed the apostle, the prophet, the evangelist, pastor, teacher. You just said Jesus messed up. He gave gifts you don't need because you're so bright. I thank God. I wouldn't know a lot of things that I know today if it wouldn't have been for other people teaching things. Revelations that they got that helped me get. How long would it take me? I think about Brother Hagin, all the years that he spent till he got revelations that I knew within weeks of getting born again. That he spent 30, 40 years in ministry and didn't know. Because the people out there weren't teaching, they didn't know the stuff that he's trying to find. He's searching to find. All the years that he spent to learn what spirit, soul, and body and how to be led by the Spirit, that came out of that. All the years. He talks about all the time. I've listened to him personally, but I also, you know, in teachings I have, of all the years that he spent trying to search Scripture and find it because everybody, they called soul. It was, you know, you had your body and your soul, and that was it. That's what the church taught. He talked about it. He said, I even listened to a guy. He talked to Billy Graham and asked Billy Graham, what's the difference between spirit and soul? And Billy said, I didn't know there was a difference. Was there a difference? Well, Brother Hagin said, there's got to be a difference because he said the Bible talks, it mentions your whole spirit, soul, and body. You preserve blameless. Well, there got to be a difference, sir. You're dividing soul and spirit. Well, there got to be a difference. What's the difference? Major ministries didn't know. Nobody knew. He spent years till he finally got a revelation about it. Understanding about it. And I got to just sit down and read a book. Got to go look at the scriptures up and say, my God, yeah, it's there. Here it is. Why would some knucklehead want to just sit around and just keep reading the Bible for themselves? It's just beyond me. I'm sorry, it's a knucklehead. It's a hard-headed person that ain't paying attention to a thing they're reading. I don't think Jesus was a fool. When he gave those gifts, I just decided it'll need them. It'll need some of those guys out there doing that stuff. He'll need that. He'll need to hear some things from some of them folks. Thank God. Hallelujah. Thank God for the stuff. You know, I'm going down through and reading through, I've been, you know, reading through Christ the Healer. I've been going through that. In fact, I'm listening to another series. I have an older one, Kenneth Hagin now, on teaching on some things of healing and that stuff, and I've been listening to and things like that. Why? It's number one, healing is going to be, if there's a move of God, healing is going to come to the forefront. We better get doing something about it. We can talk about all this stuff and our little bitty faith. But faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word. I want to drown in it. I want to get over there. I'm nothing. I'm not breathing air. I'm breathing the word on healing. That's just, I'm breathing. That's when I'm breathing. That's what's coming into me. That's what I'm eating and drinking, because why? I want to minister to people. We want to see people set free. We don't need another religious move. People need delivered. How do I cooperate with Jesus? How do I cooperate with what he wants to do? How do I do it? I want to know. Listen, look at it. Over and over again. This is one thing of it is you need to understand this. If you're not listening to things, you're not going to ever have much of a healing life if you are not dipping yourself really into it. Because if you can't get it, now you don't have the faith, then there's something you don't know. Now just get yourself over to, there's no criticism. Everybody's into places. And we got to find, well, how am I going to get out of it? Then I know this. There must be a faith problem. God ain't got a problem. There's no problem on the sending side. Right now, here today, healing is here. All the healing you'll ever need is right here, right now. What's the problem? Receiving. It's never on the sending side. Is that God don't send? It's already sent. Mm-hmm. He sent his word and healed us. And delivered us from all our destruction. Huh. Said he sent it. Yep. See, but you got to come to where that's, it's not, hey, did you hear what Pastor said today? That was really good. No, it's got to become, that's yours. Mm-hmm. He sent his word and healed me. You know, I'm already healed. Yep. Tell you a little story. Really good one here. There's a minister. And I guess people would call him today a faith healer. He's having a tent meeting. And so he's ministering to people. And there's a guy comes up front to be healed. And he has a really deformed foot, and it's twisted like with the ankle. It's a really bad, messed up, really bad. The guy was like born like this. It was really a messed up thing. And they said he had sort of a makeshift like type of crutch thing that he made so he could walk, so he could do it. On this thing. So he came up. He came up to, and the minister laid hands on him. And this guy raised his hand, and his hands, when this guy prayed for him, he said, praise God, I'm healed in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord, for healing me. And he just got, and he went away on his crutch. Nothing changed. Not a thing. But he's just praising God the whole time he's healed. I'm healed. Praise God. See, he believes he got something. He didn't believe his foot. Ain't that amazing? Well, Tuesday night, he comes back to the meeting and he stands outside the meeting and people are going in the tent and he's telling everybody how he got healed last night. And he's still on his crutch and his foot is still twisted. I got healed last night. Praise God, healed me last night. You think people be excited? They think he's weird. See, faith people are weird. Get over yourself and quit trying to be so liked by everybody. Amen. If you operate in faith, you're going to cause trouble, especially among Christians. They don't like you saying you got something they can't see. Mm-hmm. Even I've learned this. Faith people don't like that. Wednesday night. Now here's Monday night, he's saying he's healed. Tuesday night, Wednesday night, he's standing out front. And he's praising God and telling him, I got healed on Monday night. And they're all those guys. So, Some of the people who were heading up this thing to have this Timmy, they went to the minister and said, we got to do something. He's discouraging people. Now, see, faith will discourage the faithless. And they're usually the Christians. We got to do something better. So Mr. Faithman, the minister who laid hands on him, said, yeah, we need to talk to him. Don't you think that the ministers out here really have faith who lay hands on you are supposed to be faith? God uses dumb people. He used a donkey. Don't mean he ain't going to use some moron minister out here that don't know a thing about faith and might heal somebody through him. I know God does things through dumb people because he's done it through me already. He's done things that have astounded me sometimes. So I'd have never used me for that. Well, anyhow. So they make up a plan. They're going to come talk to this guy. Well, meanwhile, this guy, a person comes walking into them and walks in and up to them. And he stands in front of the minister and says, you don't recognize me, do you? And the guy said, well, no. He said, I'm the guy that got healed on Monday night here in my foot. You see, he was in faith. He believed he got something that night. I wonder how many hundreds of people left that place, never got healed, had hands laid on them. Never got healed. How many hundreds never got healed? Why? Because they were only going to believe if they felt better. See, he acted on the word of God. He had a revelation of what faith really was. He believed he got. Now, who would think? This is a guy out here. See, he's not a priest. He's a nobody. He must be wrong. Because if he was really understood healing, he'd have a big ministry. He'd have a tent twice my size. You know, he would be. He knew more about healing than anybody in that place knew. He knew how to receive by faith. My God, he should have been the preacher. I've seen that in my Christian. I've seen laymen that know 10 times more what the preacher knows. Just because people stand in office don't mean they know a thing. They should. They should take time to learn. But they don't. They learn how to make certain things work and do things and know how to cooperate and how to set up, how to do things that make people happy. And every once in a while, God gets to move. Every once in a while, God gets to do something. And it's wonderful. This one thing is I learned about God, and you need to know this. He does things whenever he can. In spite of people's stupidity, and I'm talking about Christian stupidity, ignorance, and things. If he can get himself in edgewise, he'll do it. It doesn't mean because people are great or people are not. It's because he's so good. Amen. You know, the same Greek word that's translated mercy is the same word that's translated compassion. Same thing. I like from the Old Testament because it just talks about he's merciful. For the Lord is good and his mercy endures forever. And that's what it is. You got to learn to know him like that. God doesn't move because you and I are so brilliant. He moves because he is so merciful and good. Amen. And so kind that he would choose to use us. That's a phenomenal thing. I often do this. I often just go to God, it's just incredible that you'd use me. It's just incredible. The things you've taught me. I'll tell you, naturally, I can say from a natural perspective, I'm not worthy to know what I know. Because I have nothing good to earn it. It was given. Revelation comes. Now, I've learned how to cooperate, but I would have never known how to cooperate had he not taught me. It's his working. This is why we need to get ourselves over where we constantly glorify Jesus Christ, where we constantly glorify. We are what we are. We got what we got because of him, because of his goodness.
Thank you, Lord.
For the Lord is good. You know, we have in the book of Acts, it says the apostle was teaching. It says it in Acts 17:2. It says then Paul says, as his custom was, went to them and for 3 Sabbaths reasoned with them from the Scriptures. And I just want you to encourage that. Take time and tell people you need to spend time to reason with people. You need to do that. The healing, we need to learn that in the healing ministry. I mean, I just thought with John Alexander Dowry, I could understand why God could use him so much. He knew whether 250 people weren't ready to be ministered to. By knowing that, We have prayed for people we should have never prayed for, and we ruined them doing it, making them think we were doing something spiritual when we weren't. We should have stopped and found out where they were and explained some things. And we let them think that this is the way God is. Sometimes it works and sometimes it don't. And we ruin people. I'm convinced that most of this comes because of our own human egos. It's just, we got to learn to get over ourselves. Hallelujah. Amen. But don't ever get over Him.
Hallelujah.
He's wonderful. He's good. He's good. His presence is here today.
Amen.
Whatever you need, want, or desire, He's here. He can meet that need. He can do that. But it's by faith. If you want something, you got to believe you have it. Now, when you believe you have it, there's no such thing as you believe you got something and you're not acting like you got it.
Amen. Preach.
It will not come to pass. It will not happen. If you got to believe you got, just like that guy, are you ashamed to stand out there and say, "Praise God, I'm healed in the name of Jesus. I don't look at, I'm healed." No, they'll think I'm weird if I say that. Oh, I want to say what the Word says, but I might look weird. I don't want to do that. I don't want to do that. I don't want to. Hallelujah. Praise God. See, Wanda and I learn among each other, because especially doing it in the home and that stuff, something's going on. And praise God, we believe we have it. We don't go the other one. Well, what's wrong? You got something? We got to talk about the problem. Hallelujah. Just say, what do you believe you got? I want to know. Now, we always want to know the dirty details. Somehow we think that's being personal and loving. Don't know how devious that gets. Trying to get the person out of faith. Find out what they're standing, they believe they got, then talk. But don't talk till you get information. We got to drag their problem out of it so we can deal with this, you know. I'll give you some of my psychology. Which by morning you'll be in a casket. You know? See, we need to come over this thing that we're not ashamed. That guy stood out there unashamed. I want to think about that. What a boldness to stand out there. He stood out there, just kept saying, "He is healed." Till the healing evangelist wants to get rid of him. You. Things are crazy out here. Hallelujah. Praise God. Saying we have something we don't look like we have. I mean, if I look among you and you tell yourself, do you look like you have the mind of Christ? Do you think you have the mind of Christ? Is everything you say? No. I have the mind of Christ. The Bible says. I have it. And I declare that I have it. I don't care. I can see, you don't do that. The church world, you do that kind of thing. They'll criticize you. I know. I've had people criticize me for saying things like that.
Amen.
I have the mind of Christ. They'll say, "I'm a Christian." I say, "You believe the Bible?" "Well, the Bible says I have the mind of Christ." They will still argue with you. Why? Because I have my religious beliefs and you have to be wrong because I don't like you. Because if you're right, it shows I'm an idiot. I say, "Look, we already knew that. Don't worry." We knew it. See, you want to get people in line to tell you? Loads of people know. They know you can be crazy. You're going to speak the Word. People are not going to like it.
Amen. Preach.
And it's all right. I thought they were crazy. I thought people who walked by faith were crazy before I was a Christian.
Mm-hmm.
Thank God there were some of them who didn't let that get to them. You know, they understood I was an idiot. I was over here. I was blind spiritually. They knew that. But just, I hate to see all the spiritual blindness in the church today. And I look from the Spirit-filled side. I understand why denomination, I understand because of what they're teaching. People are not hearing. But from the Spirit-filled side, we have too many who have left the foundational teachings in that. They've left them.
Amen. Preach.
Teaching all kind of stuff that has to do with the natural. And people aren't developing spiritually, and they can't stand. People are leaving this earth that shouldn't be leaving this earth. Now, you're never going to stop people from leaving. There's people who aren't going to listen. But I want to tell you, we need to preach the Word because nobody can come to faith. We need to teach people. Hallelujah. We need to sit down and talk to people and say, "Hey, you know, we need to sit down and listen. We need to listen." You know, Kenneth Hagin used to talk about, he says, people read the Bible with their religious collar classes. Well, I want to tell you one the Lord gave me. He said, yeah, and people have religious hearing aids. Mm-hmm. And they just hear. The only thing they hear is what they want to hear, and they only hear what they believe. You can tell them new revelations, and they won't believe it. Mm-hmm. Even though the Word says it. Why? Because they only hear what their hearing aid tells them. That's all they'll listen to. They'll only listen to that. So you have to get over that. How do you get over those things? You set yourself with your believing in your mouth. Is what I went to Rhema. When I went to Rhema, this is what I decided, you know. And I saw it. I said, you know, if God sent me here, then there's things He wants me to know. So I said, I'm going to consider this. And I did this. The beginning of Rhema, I did this thing. I said, I'm going to consider that I don't know anything. I'm coming here, and I want to hear, what is God saying? And I would say this all the time. I'm here to hear what God has to say. I am here because I must not know some things, because He would not have sent me here if I know it. He didn't send you here to this church because you're bright.
Amen.
There's things you need to know. You know what? I go listen to other ministers. I listen to their stuff. Read. I do it. Why? Because I need to know. Mm-hmm. I need to know. Too many people are unteachable. Stay teachable. Stay teachable. And you stay that by what you believe and say with your mouth. If you're not saying it, you're going to stay in that place you are. You don't move from one place to another, but by faith. And you're going to have to speak it to get there. And if you're not speaking it, if you don't know what God wants you to do, you're speaking nothing and you're going nowhere. Woo! Oh my God, this preaching's good. The whole thing works by faith. You have to know the will of God to where you're supposed to go to get there. If you don't know He wants you there, you can't walk by faith to get there. This ain't like Superman. You put on the vest and you go out and just fly away and all that kind of stuff. I tried that one. Fell off of buildings. Got hit by the bullets. Trains run over me. You got to walk by faith. You got to walk by faith. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Jesus. He's got the red S. He's the Savior.
Amen. Thank you, Lord.
We're great in Him. That's what we are in Him. As long as we walk in that light.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Glory. See, find out what God would walk toward it. Find out, look in the Scriptures, the things that speak to you. Begin to speak them. If you don't speak, you're not operating in faith. I don't care how much you believe it. Your believing has produced nothing till you started to say, believe it and say it and speak it. Mm-hmm. You'll not even get yourself over to, you won't even go that direction till you start in your own mouth. You can hear me say it all. I could sit here and tell you to go to the back of the room and go to the back of the room. It ain't till you get off your butt and head to the back of the room that anything's happened. Mm-hmm. So faith does. Faith moves you spiritually. Faith. You'll begin to believe God wants you to do it. You'll start speaking in that direction. You'll start speaking in the direction. See, we had testimonies. Did you ever notice about these testimonies? Had people start saying stuff, doing stuff. That's what they do. You know? See, walking by faith. You know, I would think about it, like with Jake and them came here. All they had was God told them to come here. That's what he had. So you know what? I'm sure they never said a thing about it. And you know, one day it's, they're here. But God says, and what? They started saying something. They said, and you know what? Saying that moved them to it. If they would have neglected talking that, I will guarantee you where they'd be today. Right where they were. But they started saying it. They started saying it. Over time, they started talking. God's put something in us we're going to do and head there. So it's like Jake says. He said, well, I came here, you know, what does God want me to do here? Well, I'm going to work in a job. And you know, God's going to use me here at this place. See, He's talking something. You start saying things. You start saying things. I've heard people mean, well, I'm just not like that. And I said, well, then you're just bound for a lot of trouble. You better learn to have a voice. What God says, you start talking it. You start saying it. See, this is about healing and about your health. You got to start talking about yourself. You need to say it about your health. You need to set health in your future. If you're not, I'll tell you, there's a doctor in your future. And they're probably lining up. You start saying things. You start setting your future. It don't happen overnight. You start saying it, saving it. After a while, you find yourself walking in the direction you see it. After a while, you see that pulls you toward it. Why? This is what I've been saying. Now I'm heading in that direction. So you start talking. Hallelujah. This is about faith life. People talk about, oh, yes, I tell you, I'm a person of faith. And they ain't done anything in 20 years since the time they asked Jesus to become Lord of their life. That's the last time they used it. They've been all doing nice things. They don't cuss, swear. They don't chase people. They don't do stuff. They're not, but they never really follow the life of faith and are never out to producing anything or anything. Well, if it's God's will, it'll happen to me. And everything that comes along and happens becomes God's will. And every bad thing and every evil thing becomes God's will. And He has a purpose in this. See, I had many times people told me the things that they were in that God had a purpose in. I said, yes, the God in this world sure did. Mm-hmm. The God of this world has a purpose in it. Jesus had a purpose to deliver you, amen, to redeem you from the curse of the law. That was His purpose. Wouldn't it be bold if we start praise God? I'm delivered from all sickness and disease. So you start speaking your future. Mm-hmm. Start saying these things. After a while, something comes along, you'll be just, it'll rise up in you immediately, and you'll come up and say, I'm redeemed from the curse. That ain't coming my way. You know, COVID came, and people got twitching, nervous. COVID's coming. I'm sorry, I'm redeemed from the curse. The COVID sure wasn't a blessing. I never got waited till COVID. I had been for years. Mm-hmm. See, when it came, this wasn't something Ed started up. See, my future was already set to poke COVID in the eye. It was already set years in advance. Hallelujah. It's not something we just do at the time. Hallelujah. Talk about your body. Talk about your body recovery. Talk about your immune. God gave you an immune system in your body. Talk about it working. Don't listen. And these, as you get older, your immune system don't work right. You cast the devil out of that doctor and tell him to shut up. If he says it to you, tell him to shut up. Say, that's yours, I'm sure. You'll probably be dead tomorrow. And I'll come to your funeral. But my immune system's working great.
Amen. Thank you, Lord.
You know, I got reading, studying about that. There is no reason that a person's immune system doesn't work well as they get older. But you know what? They have said this junk so much, they just throw it out there. And now people believe it, and our immune system starts shutting down on them. They talk you in. A doctor will talk you into dying if you let him. See, you got to know when they're on your side or not. I learn not to pay a bit of attention on things. I'll turn around, they'll say stuff, and I smile and think, you're an idiot. Hallelujah, you don't know me. Hallelujah. Amen. See, we need to get over into these things and get bold. Let's stand to our feet. Let's get bold as a lion. Get bold about these things. Bold concerning your health. Jesus said the thief comes to steal, to kill, and destroy. Anything that's coming to you to steal, to kill, and destroy, it is not God. And it is not to teach you something. It's to steal from you. It's trying to kill you. It's trying to destroy. And see, just not, you know, come things come. Try to destroy your relationships and your families and whatever. The evil comes. God has brought blessing. Amen. Redeemed. You're redeemed from the curse. You're a blessed. You're not cursed. You're blessed. Amen. See, you start talking those things where it becomes a reality. See, it's not hard to live a decent Christian life of faith when you're using your faith all the time, talking and saying Amen. Things, talking about what you are, that God has made you, and not waiting for a problem come to try to think of something to say. Amen. Now let's dig up the scriptures. No, let's set a lifestyle. Let's make it a lifestyle.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Praise God. This is a Christian's a faith's a lifestyle. Hallelujah. I'm redeemed.
Amen. Praise God.
Sin doesn't dominate and rule me. Hallelujah. I'm ruled by faith in Christ Jesus.
Amen.
Greater is He is in me than He's in the world. Hallelujah. In the name of Jesus, I can cast out devils.
Amen.
How many of you say that? Now let's pray and ask God to do something about the trouble in my life. Why don't you throw the devil out of your life? Why don't you throw the devil out of your trouble?
Amen.
Tell him to get out of here. Use the name of Jesus and quit trying to pray to get God to do what you're supposed to do, and He won't do it anyhow. Mm. He'll let the devil stay right in the middle of your life if you don't throw him out.
Amen.
That's your job. See, we go to praise God. You know, see, I might not look like I need to cast a devil out, but praise God, I can't if I need to. In the name of Jesus, devils have to leave.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Mm-hmm.
Praise God. See, Satan, glory to God. Sickness can't stay on me. Hallelujah. Because I'm redeemed of the curse. I will not put up with it. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
See, well, what if something comes and tries to stay? See, get over it. Go right. See, your flesh will try to take you right there. Your flesh will always try to, and you can know it's your flesh because it's weakness. Whenever weakness comes to you, you know this, it ain't God.
Amen.
Weakness don't come to you. Lots of times weakness comes because of unrenewed mind.
Amen.
Listen to the devil too often.
Mm-hmm.
No, don't ever be afraid to say what the Word says about you.
Amen.
Don't you ever fear that. Don't ever fear saying that. Because I'll tell you, you keep walking that direction, you saying those things, after a while you'll be so happy walking in it. You'll be so excited about that. Hallelujah. You know, I don't care how much money you get. You got to learn to talk about being blessed. You got to be learning about money comes to me.
Amen.
You can sit around and throw all the money you want in plates. It may not do a whole lot. It's about you receive by faith. Praise God, money chases me. Money comes to me. Wherever I go, money comes to me.
Amen.
You know what? Why? God always wants to bless me. Amen. Hallelujah. Money follows after me. It is just looking to get in my pocket.
Amen.
Did you know that? Did you know that money? Why? Blessing follows me.
That's right.
Hallelujah. Amen. That's what it is. I'm blessed. Glory to God. I don't have to pray to God to bless me somewhere. I don't care where I go. I'm in the blessed category.
Amen. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. I think I'll go over here and get blessed. You know, I'll just walk right over here right now.
Praise God.
Hey, when you talk the Word, doesn't it bring joy to you?
Amen.
Do you want to know why you feel depressed? It's been your mouth doing it and listen to other mouths to depress you. You won't ever get depressed saying the Word. Hallelujah.
Amen.
I've gone through a bad time. Sometimes I just can't wait to get to bed at night when it's quiet, and I'll just lay there and I just thank God how blessed I am. And how God, I just want to thank you. You're so good. I just love, because see, all the nuttiness stops and I'm just laying there. Hallelujah. And see, you know what you don't have to count sheep, man. Go to sleep. Bye. He gives His beloved rest. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Glory to God. See, that's what, see, you go to bed. I go to bed. I thank God. I go to bed. I just say, God, You're so good. Hallelujah. I'm so glad. I'm so blessed. I'm glad. I'm so glad the Word's working in my life. Hallelujah. I'll tell you, there's many times I go to bed thanking God about things. And you know what? Naturally, don't seem like anything's working out. But you know what? I don't sit and watch it.
Amen.
I let my tongue decide what I see.
Mm-hmm.
I let my tongue decide what I'm going to look at. You do that with your tongue. See, I lay there in bed and I'm just thanking God. Hallelujah. Praise God. I'm blessed. It's a working out. Hallelujah. Mm-hmm. I don't care what's happening. It's a working for me.
Amen.
Glory to God. Hallelujah. I might not know what to do at all, but I got all the answers I need. Hallelujah.
Amen.
I got the mind of Christ. Hallelujah. Whatever I need to know is going to come to me.
Mm-hmm.
Hallelujah. And if I don't know something, the Holy Spirit can't get a hold of me, He'll send somebody else to come and tell me.
Amen.
He'll do something. He'll send a person from the other side of the world to come and talk to Ed. He'll say, whatever I need to do. I've said that for years. Had that happen one time. A guy from far, far away came to give me an answer that I needed. I told the Lord, I said, it wasn't picking up. I just wasn't, what to do? And I said, Lord, I don't care what the answer is. You'll send somebody. I said, if you need to send Jesus Himself has to come and talk to me. If you have to send 27 angels, whatever, you'll do whatever you can to come and talk to Ed. Because he's your kid. Hallelujah. And you love him. Glory to God. See, if you say, I love God, what do you believe He loves you?
Mm-hmm.
See, you might say, God loves me. I'm going to tell you what, I'm His favorite kid. And if you haven't become His favorite kid, there's something wrong with you. We're all His favorite kid. Hallelujah. Glory to God. We're His favorite. Hallelujah. Glory, 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 glory. Hallelujah. Oh, Lord God, they're such a blessed people. Hallelujah. Lord God, there's not a thing that you wouldn't do for them and has not provided for them, Lord God. There's no wisdom that's far from them that you will not bring that to them. All you do is ask. Hallelujah. Like James said, the reason you ain't God, because you didn't ask. Hallelujah. I thank you, God, we ask. Heaven responds quickly to us in the name of Jesus. Heaven moves on our behalf. Hallelujah. Because Jesus, through His great death, burial, and resurrection, and the covenant He made through His blood. Hallelujah. Lord God, we're the most blessed that there ever could be on the face of the earth. There'll never be another group like the Church of Jesus Christ. There'll never be another thing in the earth like the church. There'll be never another who has a covenant that is so great and so wonderful and marvelous that is just blown out beyond the imagination of human mind. Hallelujah. But Lord God, you said we can still think for out there. We can still imagine out there. Hallelujah. And you'll go beyond. Hallelujah. You'll go beyond. Lord God, there's nothing that's happening to any person right here today, Lord God, that they answer is not right here today in the name of Jesus. Amen. That the answer, Jesus Christ, reach out. Whatever you need in wisdom, understanding, or a touch, whether it's healing or whatever it is, hallelujah, Jesus is here already provided. And all He's saying, hallelujah, just receive it by faith today. It is yours. Declare it belongs to you. Hallelujah. Don't walk by your feelings or what you think in your mind. Walk by faith, hallelujah, in the name of Jesus. Declare, hallelujah, that God has done such and such. God said, let me say this concerning, you might have, you know, family members are problems and things, is number the ones, start getting your mouth right about it. Quit talking about what they're doing. Wow, you're doing nothing but reinforcing what the devil's doing. That's all you're doing. Just reinforce. I know, I got lunatics in my family. They are, naturally speaking, they're lunatics. But I tell you, God can reach them. I ain't going to join the devil and play that tune. They're in enough trouble without Christians saying whatever we bind on earth will be bound in heaven. Heaven will get behind whatever mouth and you doing.
That's right.
Hallelujah. God's moving on them. Hallelujah. He's going to wake them up.
Amen.
Hallelujah. He's going to turn things around. Hallelujah. You need to do this. I ain't going to worry a lick about what's going on. I refuse. Because if you're going to worry, forget about the faith thing. It ain't ever happening. Ain't ever happening. No, I'm going to refuse to worry. I'm not even, whenever I think about that, I'm going to smile and say, God's a working on that.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. God's work. That's in His hands. Hallelujah. You know, you're nobody's Savior, whether you haven't realized that or not.
Amen.
Those reasons are problems many times in families is because Christians are trying to be saviors.
Yep.
Yeah, they're trying to take Jesus' place. They're trying to fix it. I'll tell you what you need. You need Jesus. Jesus said, ain't a prophet. A prophet is not honored, He said, in his own town. You need to understand this. Neither are you honored in your family. You're a Christian and they're not. You ain't honored either.
Amen.
See, I learned this a long time ago concerning my family. I heard Brother Hagin talked about it. He said, your family members mostly ain't going to listen to you at all. He said, I just certainly leave them alone. Let God deal with them. And you know what? He saw family members come in and come in and come in to God. I've seen the same thing. What do? You don't. You don't get over there in play in the game. You don't do that. Hallelujah. What you do is you turn them. If they aren't secure in the hands of Jesus, what else are you going to put them in?
Amen. That's right.
Who else are you going to turn them over to? See, it's a good ministry here.
Yes,
this is a good ministry, the Holy Ghost. Now, I'm just telling, don't worry, don't fret. You think, hey, He's able to, can He do exceedingly abundantly above what I imagine or think? What's my imagination? Bad? Is my imagination the wrong thing? What am I thinking? Thinking good? Then just get up right in front of the devil and do a little dance. See, devil, you ain't going to have them. Glory to God! You ain't having them. Nah, that ain't happening. Might look like it. See, you got to throw that away because you get into worry, you get into fear, and it's the faith killer. It is the faith killer. You know what? And you know, it seems like the devil does their things and brings it right into your face, don't it? But see, that's when you got to learn. That's when you get yourself over it. You get yourself some strong faith because when they do it in front of you, you can still smile. See, weak faith cries every time it sees something. Weak faith whines. No, you get it when they come and do it and say, I don't care what they're doing. Hallelujah. I know what Jesus is doing. See, when the Lord told me He's going to bring my whole family, all my brothers and sisters in, I'll tell you what, it didn't look like it at all. If I would have listened to my flesh when my oldest sister was dying, I would have went and whined and cried, oh God, you're going to do something. She's going to die. She ain't saved. But I'll tell you, I just want the Lord. I said, Lord, you told me. You said to me, you're going to bring my brothers and sisters. If my sister don't get saved, you're a liar. And I said, I'll never follow you again. You have to bring her in. So you say that to Jesus? Sure enough. He should have never told me He was going to bring them in if He wasn't going to do it. I can require it of Him.
Amen.
So when my brother called me and said, we need to pray, I said, I ain't praying. I ain't getting in unbelief praying. Acting like I got to pray now to make this work. Jesus said He's going to bring her in. He didn't say, if you pray a lot, Ed, maybe you can get her in. See, He should have never told me He was bringing her in. Because I said, no, nope. I said, I ain't going to pray. I said, she can't leave this earth till she gets saved.
Amen.
Believe me, my flesh was saying to me, wow, you shouldn't say that. What if it don't work?
That's right.
Oh, no, you don't never have that problem. No, my flesh. See, you don't say those things to people. See, I learned you got it. It's one thing. Your voice, you got to get that. If your faith's going to stay strong, you got to stay strong by what you're saying. You better get it out there. No, I said, she's going to have to get saved. I said, I ain't praying. I said, she has to get saved. I said, she can't leave this earth. Because why? Jesus ain't a liar. He never will be. He will never lie. If He didn't do it, I would have every right to not serve Him, and He could not send me to hell because He'd have to be there. He'd be a liar. Hallelujah. Well, she got saved. Sent a Korean lady to her. Why? Nobody in the family. I never tried to talk to her about Christianity because I knew it was a losing battle. She wasn't going to listen. And I'd have my other brothers or one of them try to send one sister. They tried to talk to her and that stuff. And I knew they were wasting her time. It's going to take a move of God. You got to know some people just got this. You know, she wouldn't listen to us and a Korean lady walks in. Hallelujah. See, God knows. God knows. God is working. See, and you get over in that area. Quit worrying about those. What's going on. Quit worrying about what's happening. Your worry ain't changing a thing. Hallelujah. It won't even make your hair grow. That's what He said. Can't get your hair growed on by worrying. Can't do it. Can't do nothing. Hallelujah. Can't get your hair to grow. Surely it ain't going to get people saved. It ain't going to turn people's lives around. Hallelujah. See, believing to get your hair grow, that should be pretty easy, but worrying won't do it. Hallelujah. Father, I just want to thank You.
Amen.
I thank You, Lord, You're opening our eyes to see. You're opening up our hearts to understand and comprehend. You're leading us to a place of faith, Lord God, that we walk in a boldness that we haven't walked before. A place that we step into, Lord God, is such a blessing to people in this world. Hallelujah. Lord, that we have heaven to offer people. Hallelujah. Not just some nice things. Lord God, not just a lunch. Hallelujah. We have glory to put into the hands of people to come and walk in glory. Lord God, Your goodness and mercy, our great desire, that Your great healing and glorious power can flow through us, Lord God, freely in the name of Jesus, delivering people, setting them free, Lord God, that people will come and walk in faith and glorify the Lord Jesus Christ. Lord Jesus, if there's anything that we want men to see, and that's You, Lord God, we are not trying to draw people unto ourselves. We want to draw people to Jesus Christ. Hallelujah, that He is the forefront of all. Hallelujah, that He's the great healer. He's the great deliverer. Hallelujah, and He's a God who changes not. He's just like He was yesterday. He is today, and He is forever. He will not change. He only has blessing to give men. He only has blessing and goodness to pour out. Hallelujah. And His mercy endures forever and ever and ever. And His loving kindness, hallelujah, to end, hallelujah. And His change is not. And I thank You, Lord God, that Your great wisdom and understanding is coming upon us, Lord God. And You're leading, Lord, for us to come to this place, hallelujah, that faith becomes such a simple walk and a simple place, hallelujah. Lord God, that it's our way of life, that the power of our voice speaking Your word will bring glorious things to pass. The wonders, Lord God, that are matchless. We thank You for all that You've done in the past for us. But Lord God, there's greater and mightier that is in the future. Hallelujah. Far beyond of what we have seen in the past. Hallelujah. Lord Jesus, they prophesied and said, Lord God, Jesus, about this last day move, that it was going to be greater than any concerning scriptures of any things that have ever gone on. Lord God, hallelujah, I demand it so. I demand it so, hallelujah, that your glory in this last day, the glory of this house shall be so great, shall be so mighty, hallelujah, in the land of such wonderful and glorious things, hallelujah, that will take place. Lord God, it will startle humanity. Lord God, that men will be so moved, hallelujah. Lord God, there's many who've never believed or ever thought there was a God, hallelujah. They will declare that there is a God in heaven, that they will see that only that men cannot do what was done, but it was done by the God of heaven. Hallelujah. And we thank you for it, Father God. Father, thank you for letting us participate in your glory, to walk in it. Thank you for letting us to enjoy the blessing of your glory. Hallelujah. We just, Lord, it's just so wonderful all the good you've done to us, and you have much, much more mighty things you desire to bring our way. And we thank you for it, Father. In Jesus' name, amen.